Voice of Indonesia.
Hello listener, how are you? I'm Stefanus, will be in here with you for the next 60 minutes. We will present various programs for you, like the news, commentary, light info, and also pop songs from Indonesia. And listener, we will have first the news, so stay tuned with us in Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia for the world, on the frequencies of 3325 kHz and voinews.id.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia with the news.
This is Ania Sana with the news. First, the headlines. Indonesian President Joko Widodo inaugurates 16 new ambassadors. New Indonesian ambassador to the U.S. wishes to strengthen economic relations. Indonesian ambassador to France announces that there are no Indonesian citizens affected by demonstration in France. And now the news in detail. Indonesian President Joko Widodo installed 16 new Indonesian ambassadors, externally and plenipotentiary, at the State Palace in Jakarta on Monday. As stated by Antara News Agency, during the ceremony, President Joko Widodo was flanked by First Lady Iriana, Vice President Yusuf Kalla and his spouse, and Foreign Affairs Minister Retno LP Marsudi. Other high-ranking officials attending the ceremony were, among others, Communication and Informatics Minister Rudi Antara, Transportation Minister Budi Karya Sumadi, Commander of the Indonesian Defense Forces TNI, Marshal Hadi Cahyanto, and Chief of the Indonesian Police, General Tito Karnavian. The newly installed ambassadors were Abdul Qadir Jailani, Ambassador to Canada and ICAO, Abdurrahman Budiono Dimas Wahab, Ambassador to Hungary, Al-Busra Basnur, Ambassador to Ethiopia and Djibouti as well as African Union, Armanata Kristiawan Nasir, Ambassador to France and Monaco, as well as UNESCO, Chepi T. Wartono, Ambassador to Mexico, Belize, El Salvador, and Guatemala, Dewa Made Juniarta Sastrawan, Ambassador to Zimbabwe and Zambia, Edi Yusuf, Ambassador to Brazil, Hadrianto Tohari, Ambassador to Lebanon, Julang Pujianto, Ambassador to Suriname and Guyana, and Lalu Muhammad Iqbal, Ambassador to Turkey. Prominent figures appointed as ambassadors were Mahendra Siregar, Ambassador to the United States, Muhammad Ansor, Ambassador to Chile, Siti Nugraha Maulidia, Ambassador to Poland, Sunario Kartadinata, Ambassador to Uzbekistan and Kyrgyzstan, Tri Tariat, Ambassador to Kuwait, and Wajid Fauzi, Ambassador to Syria. Newly appointed Indonesian ambassadors to the U.S., Mahendra Siregar aims to strengthen economic relations between the two countries amid U.S.-China trade war. After the inauguration ceremony of 16 Indonesian ambassadors by President Joko Widodo at the State Palace, Jakarta on Monday, Siregar stated that the government hoped the current situation of trade war does not prolong. As quoted by Antara News Agency, Siregar stated that relations between Indonesia and the U.S., as well as with other countries, must consider the trade war situation which is expected to continue. He said the focus is on how Indonesia can still maintain and keep accelerating good economic relations, even though the global situation does not seem to recover soon. Indonesia will respond to this trade war wisely. Indonesia's huge economic potential and strategic position are very attractive for other countries to be engaged with, including the U.S. A number of leading sectors that can be developed through cooperation with other countries are energy and mineral resources, transportation, industry, as well as communication technology. The city government of Malang East Java has established cooperation for development with its counterpart from Hebron, Palestine. As quoted by Antara News Agency, the cooperation was marked by the signing of a Memorandum of Understanding MOU between Mayor of Malang Sutiaji and Mayor of Hebron Taisir Abdul Sneneh at the Malang City Hall on Monday, covering a opportunities for cooperation in various fields, including disaster and crisis management, public policy, education and training, tourism, as well as sports. Mayor of Malang Sutiaji said that the details of cooperation will be further discussed. Some fields offered include education, tourism, and investment. Education cooperation has been established between Malang and Hebron, with 4 Palestinian students currently studying at the Brawijaya University through scholarship. In the area of tourism, both cities have cultural heritages that can be developed to attract more tourists to visit. Indonesian Ambassador to France Armanata Kristiawan Nasir, after being installed by President Joko Widodo at Presidential Palace in Jakarta on Monday, said that mass rally in France is the constitutional right for citizens. He said France is one of the big democratic countries that guarantees constitutional rights for citizens, including countries that guarantee, including in expressing opinion. He hoped that the rally can be done based on the law and regulation in France. Armanata also explained that until now he has not received a report about Indonesian citizens affected by the rally in France.
The rights to express, especially in a democratic country like France, is guaranteed by the Constitution. We emphasize all parties to respect the law and regulation in France. Until now, we have not received any information about Indonesian citizens affected by the rally in France.
A number of mobs staged a demonstration to the French government. The action has been done for several times since November 2018. The last rally, demonstrators of Yellow Vests demonstrated in Paris, capital city of France, and in other big cities on Saturday to protest the rise of fuel oil tax issued by President Macron, which was assumed controversial and worsening economic situation. This news comes to you over RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Trade Minister Enggar Tias Tolukita has estimated that export growth in 2018 would reach only 7.5%, far below the targeted 11%, although the official result has not been released. Last year's 11% target was already lower than the 16% export growth achieved in 2017. Enggar Tias Tolukita has attributed the lower export growth to global economic turbulence that led to a decline in local market demand. As quoted by JakartaPost.com, Minister Enggar Tias Tolukita on Monday said that he just wants to be realistic, as he sees that non-oil and gas exports only grew 7.47% in November. The trade minister's projection reflects Indonesia's trade balance predicament, which recorded a $7.52 billion deficit in November. The government, he said, would keep expanding bilateral and multilateral trade agreements in order to secure access to foreign markets and drive exports. Indonesian Coordinating Minister for the Economy Darmin Nasution inaugurated on Monday Edi Putra Irawadi as Transitional Chief of the Batam Indonesia Free Trade Zone Authority, also known as BP Batam. As stated by JakartaPost.com, Edi's inauguration ended Lukita Dinarsyah Tuwo's chairmanship in the agency, along with 3 deputies, Yusmar Angga Dinata and 2 military and police officers, Major General Eko Budi Suprianto and Inspector General Bambang Purwanto. 2 other deputies, Purwianto and Duyanto Eko Winario, retained their positions. Darmin, who chairs the BP Batam Zonal Council, said that the move was made to ensure a smooth transition before the appointment of the Batam mayor as ex-officio BP Batam chief. The decision to appoint the Batam mayor as ex-officio chief of BP Batam was decided by President Joko Widodo to abolish dualistic authority on the island. Darmin believed that this decision will bring more effective and smoother transitions to merge the authorities. And the last item, West Pasaman District in West Sumatra Province is organizing the first Mount Talamau Coffee Festival on January 7 until 10, 2019, to promote locally grown coffee internationally. The festival is organized with the support of the Association of West Pasaman Coffee Producers to celebrate the 15th anniversary of West Pasaman District. In addition to Pasaman Coffee, the festival is showcasing coffee produced by other regions in West Sumatra, such as South Solok, 50 Kota, Payakumbuh, and Agam. West Pasaman currently has Arabica coffee plantations measuring 1,200 hectares, with production reaching 450 tons per year. Each hectare produces some 800 kilograms of Arabica coffee. The district's coffee plantations, mostly located in Talamau sub-district, date back to the Dutch colonial era. West Pasaman produces the best coffee in West Sumatra, and the local government has supported the local coffee plantation businesses. And listener, to end the news, here are the headlines once again. Indonesian President Joko Widodo inaugurates 16 new ambassadors. New Indonesian ambassador to the U.S. wishes to strengthen economic relations. Indonesian ambassador to France announces that there are no Indonesian citizens affected by demonstration in France. And listeners, that's the news.
Voice of Indonesia.
Hello, listener. Nice to be with you again in our regular program commentary. The title of today's commentary is State-owned enterprises need collaboration with regional companies in infrastructure development. The World Bank provided clarification about a report entitled Infrastructure Sector Assessment Program, or IMPRASEP, which was recently quoted by several media. The report states that infrastructure in Indonesia is poor quality and not well planned. The World Bank report released in June 2018 also mentions that the administration of Joko Widodo and Yusuf Kalla relies on state-owned enterprises in building infrastructure. This was reflected in the government's decision to provide direct assignments of a number of projects to the state-owned enterprises. The World Bank immediately issued clarification regarding the news. In its release, the World Bank confirmed that the report had not been officially published and was still in the finalization stage. However, the World Bank did not deny the news. In a written statement on Monday, the World Bank reported, in compiling the report, the World Bank collaborated closely and discussed with relevant parties in the government, such as the Ministry of Finance or BAPNAS, various coordinating ministries, Minister of State-owned Enterprises and Financial Service Authority. IMPRASEP is a comprehensive analysis relative to the various obstacles which can reduce funding for commercial and private infrastructure. This report is one of the possible policy reforms that can be considered and carried out by Indonesia in a short and medium term. The World Bank has started preparing the report since mid-2017. This is in accordance with the invitation of Indonesian government to cooperate in finding solutions in the bid to be able to attract more private and commercial funding for infrastructure investment. Apart from the clarification of the World Bank regarding the report, the Indonesian government has responded positively. Minister of Finance Sri Mulyani assessed the World Bank report as a positive input for the government. The same statement was expressed by Minister of National Development Planning, or Head of BAPNAS, Bambang Brojonegoro, who claimed to have communicated with the World Bank regarding the IMPRASEP report. Indeed, the World Bank has not officially issued the IMPRASEP report, but there is nothing wrong for the government to prepare itself for some improvements in infrastructure development planning. Take, for example, one of the state-owned enterprises that will work on infrastructure project can cooperate with the regional companies in the location. Thus, the project can have a direct double effect on the area. The infrastructure is built and regional companies can develop. Well, listener, that was commentary read by Rahmana. Thanks for listening.
Voice of Indonesia.
This is RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with Today in History, a regular segment which brings back people and events from this date in the past as recorded in history. I'll begin with January 8, 1912. The African National Congress was established. The American National Congress, or ANC, is the center-left South African political party and was founded on January 8, 1912 in Bloemfontein, to protect the rights of the black majority. The ANC is the only party to have ruled South Africa since 1994. Support for the party had diminished in the 1999 elections, but they regained additional support in the subsequent elections in 2004. Turning to January the 8th, 1926, Abdul Aziz bin Saud became the first king of Saudi Arabia. Initially, Abdul Aziz al-Saud was Sultan Nejd, who conquered the Hejaz kingdom in 1925. On January the 8th, 1926, Abdul Aziz bin Saud was crowned as king of Hejaz in the Grand Mosque. On January the 27th, 1927, he also raised the status of Najd to become a kingdom. Based on the Jeddah Treaty on May 20, 1927, Abdul Aziz's power was recognized by the United Kingdom and his country was called the Kingdom of Najd and Hejaz. For 5 years, Abdul Aziz ruled his two kingdoms as separate units. On September 23, 1932, the main Saudi territories, namely Al-Hazar, Qatif, Najd and Hejaz, were united into the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia. I'll end today in history with January the 8th, 2003. A Turkish Airlines plane crashed. Turkish Airlines Flight 634 was a domestic aircraft scheduled to fly from Istanbul Atatürk Airport to Diyarbakır Airport in the southeast of Turkey. Because of bad weather, the plane crashed into the slope of a mountain. The aircraft broke into three and an explosion occurred that killed 75 of the 80 passengers and crew, including the pilot and co-pilot. Based on the investigation, the thickness of the fog had made the pilot unable to see clearly. Well, that was Today in History. Over Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, I'm Anna Trijayakasih.
Mungkin cinta bukanlah seindah harapanku.
Cerita kita sebelum benci.
Listener, you're still with us in the Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia for the world, on 3325 kHz and voinews.id. Next, we are going to present to you My Indonesia.
Hello, listener. Nice to be with you again in our good program, My Indonesia. For today's topic is Minister of Technology, Research and Higher Education affirmed that no Indonesian student undergo forced labor in Taiwan. Minister of Technology, Research and Higher Education Muhammad Nasir affirmed that no Indonesian student underwent forced labor in Taiwan. He stated that the issue arose for political interest because of ongoing stages of the presidential election in Taiwan. Antara News Agency reported on Friday that Minister Muhammad Nasir has coordinated with the Taipei Economic and Trade Office (TETO) regarding the sending of students. Based on the coordination, the Minister of Research, Technology and Higher Education concluded that no Indonesian students were forced to work in Taiwan. He also explained that the ongoing problem is about working while studying for the Indonesian students. He also pointed out that the case of forced labor occurred in 2016, prior to the establishment of the cooperation scholarship were given to the Indonesian students. The Taiwanese government, through its representative office in Indonesia, the Taipei Economic and Trade Office, TETO, denied the existence of forced labor practices by hundreds of Indonesian students in Taiwan in the Industrial University Internship Program. Head of the Taipei Economic and Trade Office, John Chen, at a press conference at the TETO office in Jakarta on Friday, said that the Taiwanese government strongly requires all universities and colleges participating in industrial university internship program to obey the existing regulations. He denied allegations of forced labor cases experienced by several Indonesian students in Taiwan as reported by Taiwan News for the first time. John C. Chan further explained that to investigate alleged cases of forced labor against Indonesian students in the Special Industrial University Cooperation Class of Tsinghua University of Science and Technology, the Taiwan Minister of Education has visited and interviewed the students. He added that all arrangements for off-campus internships were in accordance with the provision of Taiwan labor law, and they denied that they were harassed in the internship program. Earlier, Taiwan's news reported that as many as 300 Indonesian students under the age of 20 were allegedly forcibly employed as factory workers. They were only allowed to take classes on Tuesday and Friday each week and one day of rest, while on Sunday to Wednesday, they were transported by bus to a factory in Hsinchu. The students worked in a shift that ran from 7:30 a.m. to 7:30 a.m. with a two-hour break. Well, listener, that was My Indonesia, read by Rahmana. Thanks for listening.
Voice of Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
You are still with us in Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia for the world, on 3325 kHz and voinews.id. Listener, next we are going to invite you to visit various places of Indonesia to know about its tourism objects or some local wisdom that we have only on Indonesian Wonder.
Listeners, in today's Indonesian Wonder, we will introduce you about Kembang Waru Cake. Stay tuned. Kota Gede is a sub-district in Yogyakarta province which still preserve the cultural heritage of Mataram Sultanate in the past. As the capital of Mataram Sultanate, a lot of historical remains can be explored in Kota Gede. One of them is the traditional culinary of Kota Gede sub-district called Kue Kembang Waru or Kembang Waru Cake. Waru is a kind of flower from the family of hibiscus. The Kembang Waru Cake resembles exactly to waru flower. According to local legend, in the past, around Keraton Kota Gede or Keto Gede Palace, there were many waru trees producing flowers. The palace cook used waru flour as the baking mold because the technique of molding cake using waru cake is very simple and easy to try. Kembang waru cake has a petals like waru flower. The color of the cake is the mixture of light and dark chocolate. Kembang waru cake is made from flour, eggs, sugar, milk, vanilla, and butter. The ingredients may change, for example, ayam kampung eggs or eggs produced by indigenous chicken can be switched with ordinary chicken eggs. Flour can be substituted with glutinous rice flour. After mixing all the ingredients, pour the dough into the flower-shaped baking mold which has been buttered. Then bake the dough. It's a traditional oven. The pan or oven still uses charcoal as the fuel. The charcoal is placed on the top of the pan and below it. The taste of the cake is sweet, a bit crispy on its crust, yet chewy. You can buy this cake at Kota Gede Market for 2,000 rupiah per piece. The use of flour shows the great influence of European culture brought by the Dutch people. At the time, flour was considered as a luxurious ingredient, so it is no wonder that kembang waru cake was a prestigious snack. In the past, kembang waru usually served for the kings of Mataram Sultanate and for other celebrations as well. Kembang waru cake has interesting philosophy. The cake is composed of 8 petals that symbolize the important elements of life called hasto broto, or the main path. These elements consist of sun, moon, star, clouds, water, and ocean and wind. Whoever eats the cake should understand and implement the values of the hasto broto. In the past, the cake was served for the royal family and noblemen. However, as time elapses, all people can taste the delicacy of the cake. That was Indonesian Wonder about Kembang Waru Cake. See you on our next edition.
Voice of Indonesia.
Cintamu ku selami warna-warna terindah. lukis di jiwa telah membelai kalbu.
Listener, thank you. You're still with us in the Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia for the world, on 3325 kHz and voinews.id.
Voice of Indonesia.
This is RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia. Welcome to Mari Berbahasa Indonesia or Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. Lesson in Bahasa Indonesia or Indonesian language on the radio, informing you about Indonesian vocabulary, structure, phrases, and how to use them in a conversation. This Mari Berbahasa Indonesia is a collaboration between Voice of Indonesia RRI Overseas Broadcasting Station and the Language Development and Development Agency of the Ministry of Education and Culture of the Republic of Indonesia. Today's topic is permisi, which in English means excuse me, and mempersilahkan, which means to let somebody do something. Next, I will give an example of a conversation on permisi and mempersilahkan, which in English means excuse me and to let somebody do something. Tony was going to sit in his seat by the window, but he couldn't because there was a woman sitting next to the chair. Tony asked permission to pass and the woman let him. Tony, permisi, Sinta, ya? Tony, saya duduk di dekat jendela, boleh saya lewat? Sinta, oh silakan. Tony, terima kasih. Sinta, sama-sama. After listening to the conversation, I will introduce phrases and vocabulary related to today's theme, permisi, which in English means excuse me, and mempersilakan, which means to let somebody do something. I will say the words two times and you can repeat after me. Permisi, permisi, which means excuse me. Saya duduk di dekat jendela. Saya duduk di dekat jendela, which means I sat near the window. Boleh saya lewat? Boleh saya lewat, which means may I pass? Silakan. Silakan, which means please or by all means. Terima kasih. Terima kasih, which means thank you. Sama-sama. Sama-sama, which means you're welcome. Di mana? Di mana, which means where? Toilet. Toilet, which means toilet. Di dekat counter. Di dekat counter, which means near the counter. The word permisi can be used in various situations. For example, permisi di mana toilet? Permisi di mana toilet? Which means, excuse me, where is the toilet? You can answer, for example, by di dekat counter itu. Di dekat counter itu, which means near the counter. Furthermore, if you want to ask someone's permission, you can use the phrase boleh saya. Boleh saya, which means may I. May I. As Tony said, boleh saya lewat? Boleh saya lewat, which means may I pass? Another example. Permisi, boleh saya ambil koran ini? Permisi, boleh saya ambil koran ini, which means excuse me, can I take this newspaper? To allow or to give permission, you can answer and say silakan. Silakan, which means please do or by all means. After you are welcome or allowed to do something, you can say terima kasih. Terima kasih, which means thank you. To answer terima kasih or thank you, you can say sama-sama. Sama-sama, which means you are welcome. Before ending, mari berbahasa Indonesia. Let's speak bahasa Indonesia today. For more details, let's listen to the example of conversation once more. Permisi, permisi, ya. Saya duduk dekat jendela, boleh saya lewat? Oh, silakan. Terima kasih, sama-sama. That was Mari Berbahasa Indonesia or Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia today with the topic permisi, which in English means excuse me, and mempersilahkan, which means to let somebody do something. Hopefully this edition can be useful for those of you who want to know Indonesian better. Thank you for listening. We'll meet again tomorrow with a different topic. Sampai berjumpa lagi. Bye now.
Ku jumpa kau hari ini, rasanya kau makin mempesona. Rasanya ingin ku meraihmu bersamaku. Ternyata aku tak dapat melupakanmu. Yang pernah bersamaku tertawa ria, berbagi cerita tak berurai air mata. Ketika ku jumpa kau hari ini, rasanya kau makin mempesona. Rasanya ingin ku meraihmu bersama. Samaku berbagi canda, meraih cita dan harapan kita berdua. Genggamlah tanganku, tetaplah bersamaku, terbang tinggi di langit biru. Tetaplah bersamaku, tetaplah bersamaku, tetaplah bersamaku kasih. Oh, 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 oh. Di. Tanganku, tetaplah bersamaku, terbang tinggi di langit biru di atas awan. Tetaplah bersamaku, tetaplah bersamaku, tetaplah bersamaku kasih. Oh, oh, oh.
Listener, you're still with us in the Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia for the world. Next, we are going to present to you the music corner, so stay tuned.
Voice of Indonesia.
Listeners, welcome back to Music Corner. In today's edition, I will present you a song entitled Seroja, sung by Edi Silutonga. The song Seroja, sung by Edi Silutonga, reminds us not to be sad because of love. Seroja is a lotus-like flower. The lyrics of the song are very poetic and gloomy. Composed by Hussein Bawafi, the song Seroja was previously popularized by Said Effendi, a Malay musician, in the 1950s and 1970s. The song is getting popular as a movie entitled Seroja was released. The song is not only popular in Indonesia but also in Malaysia, Singapore, and Brunei Darussalam. Let's listen to Seroja by Edi Silutonga. Happy listening.
Remaja, putri remaja, rupa yang elok, dimanja, jangan dimanja, aku jalan ia, oh saja, sekedar saja.
hiasan sanggu remaja putri remaja. Rupa yang elok dimanja, jangan dimanja. Aku jalan ia, oh saja sekedar saja.
Voice of Indonesia.
Alright, listener, it's all that we have in English program. Thank you very much for listening, but stay tuned with us in the Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia for the World on 3325 kHz and voinews.id. In the meantime, do not forget to like and comment on our Facebook fan page, The Voice of Indonesia, or follow and mention us at Twitter, at @voiindonesia. And send us email on voi@voinews.id.